This is Talk Story. 30 years. It's the anniversary, actually, was September 18th of when I started this show. And I'm always so pleased to be able to be here and talk and meet with so many wonderful people in our community. And one of my passions is owner-operator businesses. I always can relate and get excited about people who take a leap of faith and decide to go into a business and start a business themselves. And because it is a lot of work, and I understand that, having a business myself and having done business for myself for a long time. So today I am really thrilled to have Reda Bustani, close, I'll get it. Come in, and I met Reda at the tribute to the Rolling Stones that we did at Mulligan's. Our friend from Shooting Star, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Steven
introduced us, and I just love the fact that I got a chance to meet you and your wife, Jamie, and how wonderful you were. And I, you know, it's so funny because we get locked into our little work and our sites, and literally, I've been here at Ko'oi, right, you know, for years and years and years, and I didn't realize you're right around the corner. I've walked by Evolution Yoga Studio, I mean, at least once or twice a week, right?
Definitely.
And I never met you. You're right around the corner. You're a neighbor, right?
Yes, we're just around the corner. We're neighbors. And we get to meet on the south side and bring it back to Central Maui.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so cool. I am a yoga fanatic. I've been doing yoga, gosh, probably longer than you've been alive, Reda. I've been doing yoga since I've been about 23 or 24. And when I was starting way back then, there weren't a whole bunch. There was a handful of yoga practitioners. I think Sajidananda mm-hmm. was doing his yoga practices and a few others, right?
Yes.
From India. And of course, Yogananda had his self-realization fellowship practice of yoga. But it wasn't like now. Now there's so many kinds of yoga that it kind of blows my mind, and I can't even keep them straight, you know. But I know that I love yoga, and so I'll start every morning doing yoga. Now, when did you get turned on to yoga?
I got turned on to yoga about a little over a decade ago, and I do remember walking into my first yoga class, and I was with a friend, and I was like, I don't know about this yoga thing. I'm just going to go try it, and we'll see what, you know.
Where was that?
That was in on the East Coast in North Carolina, and it totally changed my life. Like, I never looked back. I would say, like, that the first year I would do it sporadically, but then I got hooked, and it totally, literally, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it literally changed my life. And you know, and through that, I just really, really wanted to share that with the people, with the community.
You know, it's so interesting, Reda. There's so many more women doing yoga than men. And it really is, and it's interesting because I do yoga a lot of times at the Y and other places, but mainly the Y, because I've been going there for years and I have friends who are yoga teachers. And, I mean, you might see one, maybe two men in class, but they don't come regularly. And there's many times in a class where it's all women. So it's interesting that you as a man didn't mind and just really got into it. Did you find you were kind of unique in the fact that you were a man doing yoga classes?
You know, I'm fortunate enough to see that now more men are into yoga. So it's this really beautiful revolution that we see, that like everybody is willing to walk and just do yoga, like just to see what's available to them through this practice. And truly, if you think about it, like anybody can do this. It just, and I always tell my student that 50% of the work is to show up.
Well, you know, you're right there. And it takes that, you know, it's beyond discipline. People say, oh, you're so disciplined, you can meditate every morning, you know. And I go, well, for me, I don't even think of it as discipline. I mean, I think of it as something I have to do. For me, that's something that is totally synced up with my consciousness, you know. I can't imagine starting a day without a little bit of, well, actually about an hour of meditation and a half hour of yoga. But I have to admit, a lot of times it's really 15 minutes of yoga. And then I set my insight timer. It's like, well, it really was only 15 minutes of yoga. And that's the good thing about classes. Because when I go to a class, I'll do the whole hour or hour and 15 minutes. But when I'm doing it on my own, I cheat. I just do the ones, I do the postures that I feel comfortable with. And no one's watching. No one say you've got to do, you know, the whole group thing changes, right? Versus what you do on your own.
The whole dynamic changes because when you come into a class setting, so you're there, but you have also a responsibility as a practitioner to hold space for other people. Mm. So you're not on your own. This is a shared responsibility when you walk into the space that, like, your presence has an impact on the people around you.
You know, that's the truth, but a lot of people don't realize that.
You have to show up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the presence you're talking about, just being present.
Being fully present in there, and that allows you as an individual and practitioner to raise the vibration.
It's true.
And people around you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, without sounding way out there, we're talking truly in terms of responsibility as an individual.
Mm, good point. Good point. You know, what's nice is at Evolution Yoga, it's at 1942 Main Street. Of course, we're at 1900, and you're just around the corner of the street there. But you have lovely wooden floors.
Yes.
And a lot of places don't do that. And that there's something about a wooden floor that carries a good vibration and space to be on. You know, it's not the same as being on, you know, vinyl floor or concrete floor or something else. That wooden floor is a great, great thing to have.
It's a great way to ground.
Yes, it's true.
You know, like metaphorically, when we say grounding into the earth, and having a wooden floor, to tell you the truth, brings that sense of grounding to a deeper depth.
There's absolutely truth to that. And I even know from, you know, having some nice wooden pieces over the year, the wood changes with the actual oils of the feet, the oils of the body, the energy and everything. It carries that vibration as well. It holds that space as well.
Definitely.
Right?
Hence the name, Evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good point. I hadn't thought of that.
You know, nothing stays the same.
Yeah, that's how you came up with the name.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like the practice itself, it can be the same practice, the same postures, but it will never be the same twice.
That's a good point. And sometimes certain postures, well, I notice especially on the balancing postures, the tree pose and some of the others, that there's days where it just is like right there, and there's days it's like, oh, wait a second, yesterday I could do this tree pose and I didn't lose my center of balance, and the next day, if I'm not as much in balance, that posture won't be as much there either. But there's also that, you know, when I started, there wasn't as much focus years and years ago on the downward dogs. And there's some classes that just really love their downward dogs and do the whole, you know, sun salutation, sun salutation, sun salutation, sun. I'm going, okay, sun salutation. I got it, got it. But I've had to increase my ability to do sun salutation, downward dog. Because a lot of yoga teachers, that's kind of like the whole thing. What kind of teachers do you have? How did you find your teachers? And what kind of classes do you have at Evolution Yoga?
So at Evolution Yoga, we're really emphasizing the practice of Power Vinyasa Yoga, which is a practice that is based on the teachings of our teacher, Baron Baptiste. And we're using that as a platform to really tap into who you are as an individual.
And I hate to admit it, I don't know. And again, I've done kind of Ashtanga yoga and others, but I don't know this man. Tell me about Baron.
So Baron is one of the pioneers in the American modern yoga. You know, his parents were some of the first Americans to own a yoga studio in San Francisco in the 50s.
Really?
Yeah, Walt and Magana Baptiste. And they practiced with, you name it, Yogananda, Iyengar, you know, all those guys from India. And Baron had the ability to take us as his students and as our community in our methodology. We took the elements of yoga and elements of personal development and merged them into our methodology, which allows anybody at any fitness level to walk in and be able to experience the benefits of a yoga practice. Staying truly concrete to make it available to anyone without having that feeling of, you know, how anybody can walk into yoga class and feel intimidated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I, like I say, I do think men feel more intimidated than women, right?
And this is stripping down yoga to make it available to anyone.
Really?
To really tap into their power.
So what are some of your postures you do, some of the asanas you do in this form of yoga?
I mean, you name it, from sun salutations to balancing postures to trikonasana, triangle pose.
Mm-hmm.
So the typical poses of yoga. Mm-hmm. And we have a specific sequence called Journey into Power. That is the Batiste sequence that we teach, you know, and depending on where you are on your journey, we adapt it accordingly.
So you teach classes and you also have a few other teachers. What time do you start with what teachers?
Okay, so we have classes from Monday to Friday at 8, 9:30 and 5 p.m.
Okay.
And Tuesday and Thursday at 5 p.m. we have Tiffany, which she's a great teacher, teaches a beautiful power vinyasa flow. And on Wednesday at 5, we do have a gentle flow.
Uh-huh.
So it's a great balance to a power vinyasa practice.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week, you can unplug and...
So before work and after work.
Before work and after work, you know. And Saturday morning, we have a longer class at 9 a.m. That is an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And at 11 a.m.
What kind of class is that on Saturday morning?
Batiste yoga. So that's a full-on...
Is that your class?
That's my class at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Full-on Batiste yoga. The room is heated to 92 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And we just go through the full practice. And we usually do a meditation before we start the physical practice, a 5-10 minute meditation, and then we go into the practice. And after that, on Saturday at 11 a.m., it is followed by yoga sculpt, which is yoga with weights.
Really? And now, I've never seen yoga with weights before.
It's a great, great workout.
Really?
Yes, it's fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's you know how sometimes the practice can become serious at one point, so it's good sometimes to once a week just let loose and have fun.
Now, how does it work? Can people come to once to see how they like it, or how do you have to belong to the Evolution Yoga, or do you pick your classes, or how do people come to classes and join?
So people join Evolution Yoga. We have an intro offer for 30 days at $49 a month for unlimited yoga, so you can try the different classes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Meet the different... Yeah, we want to give to the community. It's not about us. This is about creating a space for the community to connect, for people to come and connect. And the community makes it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here as teachers and individuals to hold the space.
Mm-hmm. Because yoga can be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It can be expensive. So this is a good chance to kind of come and experience different kinds of yoga and different classes and see what's a good fit for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and get used to it. And then that, and it goes otherwise month by month, or is that
yes.
How it goes?
So we have different packages and monthly packages as well. So we have 5 class passes that are for $75. So it would make it like $15 a class. And 10 class passes at $140 and 6 months commitment for $99 a month. So we want to make it accessible to our students to be able to practice yoga among other modalities that they might be doing.
What do most students do? What's the most popular classes for people?
The most popular classes are the classes on at 5 p.m.
Really?
Yes, the classes at 5 p.m., people end their day and just come in, and before going home, just have fun. And we do have showers also for...
I didn't know that.
People, you know,
which
some people...
Which is handy if you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Certain people love to go to yoga before work.
Yeah.
So we'll enable people to have that ability to just come in, do their practice, shower, and go on with their day.
Can some people just do and pay as they go and pay per class if that's what they want to do? Because they just don't know what their schedule is going to be like?
Yeah, we do have a drop-in rate at $18 mm-hmm. Per class. And you can come and once in a while and try mm-hmm. a class and mm-hmm. see if it works for you.
You know, and it's interesting because I get stuck in routines, and I'm a kind of a fixed position kind of person. So I like, you know, having a routine, and I will always, for me, you have to almost make it like an appointment. If you're going to really show up at yoga and make it work for you, you know, it's good. I make it almost like this is my appointment, and it's like it's in my regular schedule to show up at this time and do this. And without fail, I am always happy that I made that time to do that, you know, because we all get really busy. But unless you make it some kind of inner commitment and a commitment to yourself that this is what you're going to be doing, you know, and it's really not just for yourself. It's for your body. It's for your well-being. It's for also the people you meet because you make friends. I've made some really good friends through yoga.
Yes, and this is, you know, ultimately it's creating a certain discipline for yourself mm-hmm. as a practice. And also truly like making friends and creating a community is the most beautiful aspect of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I think actually there's also a vibe that comes that it's really beautiful about Wailuku because, you know, speaking of evolution, I've seen Wailuku evolve over the last 10 years, you know, in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more of its own unique place that's reflecting some of the interests of the community and a lot of interesting owner-operator stores. If you walk down Market Street,
yes,
you know, you'll see the Wailuku Coffee Company. I love they've survived, and it's not easy. You know, there they are. They're surviving. People support them. Pharmacy. You've seen
beautiful the place, yeah.
Yeah, pharmacy doing really well there. And I love the fact that, of course, there's the Green Tea Boutique for wonderful mm-hmm. massage. And also, I got my books and CDs there. And you know, it's kind of interesting, too. There's some kind of artistic places, you know. And I haven't been to the Y Bar. Is it Y Bar?
Y Bar, yeah.
I haven't been there yet. I've got to go in there.
That's a good, great little place, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
For music and things, which is great. And then, of course, the Eao Theater, which does lovely stuff. So, I mean, I think of all the communities, Wailuku is the most real. You know, there's lots of other communities, right? But Wailuku is very real and very much owner-operator and kind of unique, right?
It's happening.
Yeah,
it's happening.
It is, yeah, absolutely. You
know, and, you know, that's what's beautiful about Wailuku. It's you can walk into a yoga class or the coffee shop or anywhere, and it's people from different horizons.
Mm.
But those people, like, have that sense of communion once they enter the space. You know, whether it's the coffee shop, whether it's the yoga studio. And, you know, it's just like about creating something.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because your wife works in Paia.
Mm-hmm.
She's an acupuncturist. Were you tempted to do something in Paia, or what drew you to Wailuku rather than a place like Paia or Makaua or something?
You know, Wailuku is a great place. Central Maui is, you know, I mean, there are great yoga studios on the North Shore, in upcountry, mm-hmm. and... Mm-hmm. You know, but why have another yoga studio when you can have something, you can be a pioneer something somewhere else? And Central Maui is a great place where people are striving to have yoga studios, to have coffee shops and all that. So we come in and share the love. And
these are people that aren't passing through. They're not transient visitors either so much. I think in some of the other areas you have more visitors in Paia, and you might have more visitors in Wailea area or something. But I think the people here in Wailuku are people that work and live in the community more.
Yes, our community is mostly local individuals, local
people and working people.
Definitely not so much the transient population.
I mean, because there is, you see this in Paia, there's a lot of people that come for a season of windsurfing or something, or they're, you know, they're just here and gone, you know, and here for a few weeks sometimes and gone. But I think in Wailuku we don't see that so much, you know. I think it's kind of unique that way.
Yes, it's own little beauty. Yeah,
well, and people, I had a chance to do a show with you a while back. People may not know it, but you're from Morocco. You were born in Morocco, and you're the first person from Morocco that was born in Morocco that I've ever met. And you kind of to me, look Egyptian. You have an Egypt. Well, but then again, I don't know most Moroccans, so maybe a lot of Moroccans look Egyptian too. But I don't. You kind of have an Egyptian vibe. Where I have been to Egypt twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have that kind of vibe, and it's an interesting place because Morocco is very cosmopolitan as well. It's kind of an international, got an international vibe about it as well.
Yes. Yes, and very much so.
And it's a popular tourist place as well, right?
Excuse me?
A tourist place.
Yes,
visit.
Very
a
much so.
A lot of visitors come there.
Lots and lots of visitors.
Do they have yoga studios? And do you find, when you go, when was the last time you went back to Morocco?
2 years ago.
Oh, two years ago.
And
family there?
Yes. Yes, my family is there. And you know, since you're mentioning the yoga, it's, yes, yoga is it's a burgeoning stage in Morocco.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it's so beautiful to see. So beautiful.
There are some really hot windsurfing places over there, right?
Yes, yes, in the south of Morocco, it's some of the hubs.
And some of the film studios and everything are happening. So there's people that come in with money to shoot films down there, I guess, in the south of Morocco?
In the south of Morocco, yes.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing because I never thought of Morocco as much of that until I started seeing a lot of these movies, and you look and you see where the set and the location is, and you see Morocco. So a lot of films that have things that are set supposedly in the Middle East or in either maybe supposed to be Syria or someplace in Afghanistan, they shoot there in Morocco. Because obviously you're not going to go to Syria and do a movie, I don't think, at this time, right? I don't think you're going to go to Pakistan even and shoot right now.
Yeah, you know.
Unless you want to get a really good insurance and get shot at. But Morocco is very, very unique. So when you go back there and you look at where you've come, your own evolution from your roots of Morocco, does it seem interesting? Have you changed and evolved from where you began in Morocco to where you are now?
Definitely. It's been an amazing, incredible journey. It's been an incredible journey to be where I am today in my life journey, and I'm fully grateful for everything that I went through, and having the ability to share that through evolution yoga is really amazing, because it's beyond the yoga. It's just, you know, sharing who we are as individuals and as teachers.
You know, I'm trying to think, and I know there's many yoga places, but I don't know any other men that own yoga studios. Mostly it's women, isn't it?
I do believe so. I do believe so, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, not to my knowledge on Maui. You know, I don't know.
I can think of some women, but I can't think of any men that are doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of places, they found that they want to teach yoga teachers. There's become like a mini business. A lot of them are trying to do yoga teaching because there's quite a bit of money being made by some teachers and teaching other teachers to become teachers because it's so popular now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people go, I remember when Reiki was really popular and everyone was taking Reiki classes, right? But now you go and you take your yoga, you know, classes and you want to be a yoga teacher, right? It's like the perfect gig, right? Just be a yoga teacher, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot to really being a yoga teacher. I mean, there's a lot. And again, I think you brought that up. The seeds of being a good yoga teacher isn't just because you like to do yoga. There's more involved in how you actually are a teacher, and you're the heart of the teacher, and you care, and you can relate to the people in the class. It's much more than just wanting to be a yoga teacher because you like doing yoga, right?
definitely. Like being a yoga teacher, I mean, believe it or not, it's a tremendous responsibility. It's a tremendous responsibility because you are not only holding space, but you are the person that is the gatekeeper to the safety of the space and the safety of people's well-being.
That's a very good point. And I don't think a lot of teachers may understand
that. You know.
Because if yoga is done wrong, you can have injuries and damage done. And people don't ever think of like, oh, something could be dangerous in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about that. But sometimes if you're not really aware and conscious of what you're doing, you can actually strain your body. And you got to make sure you're protecting yourself as well, and listening, and people should listen to their own body while they're doing the yoga and not just totally give up their own, own will to their teacher, right? You got to always still keep part of you that listens to yourself as well as the teacher.
Yeah, you truly have to listen to your body. And the teacher is only a guide. The teacher is not the ultimate truth. Like, we're guides, but we're also... We were holding the space for you to be able to tap into your inner self.
It was interesting because I've been doing yoga and yoga for years and I've been going to the Y, and I forget what happened. One time one teacher didn't show up. So I don't know. I've been doing yoga at the Y for at least 15 years. So one time a teacher didn't show up and I said, well, okay, I guess we'll do our own yoga class. And people going, oh, no, we couldn't. I said, well, why can't we? We've been doing it every week here for years and years. We should be able to do our own yoga class, right? But people were so just tuned into doing what the yoga teacher told them, they hadn't really been actually incorporating it to understand how to do their own yoga, you know? And there is something. I mean, there's a balance, like I say, there's a balance of doing your own yoga in your yard, which I do every day, but don't do it long enough, to doing yoga with a teacher. And then also learning that you are able to get something from it that you know that you need that changes your body. Because yoga will change your body. Yoga will change your body, but it'll also change your mind. And it'll change your state of mind. And it'll also change your peace of mind. And it should change your spirit and your connection to your own inner spirit as well. And I mean, I've seen yoga become so popular, but a lot of people seem to be losing that other parts of yoga where they just think it's for the physical staying in shape, and there's really a lot more elements when you go back to the roots of yoga than just doing it for exercise.
Yeah, we say that yoga is the asana practice is just a drop in the ocean of yoga. There's so much more, and with the popularity of yoga as we know it nowadays, you meet people where they are. And if people want to delve deeper into the practice, please, by all means. But I don't believe it's fair to just push the teachings onto the people if they're not ready or not willing. When the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. And, I mean, there's so many yoga videos. Can you believe how many yoga videos are out there? And I'm seeing them sped up yoga routines on Instagram, and I'm seeing everything on the YouTube, and I'm going, well, I mean, that's fine if you want to sell it. But that, I mean, look at it, and I can't relate. I can't relate to what I'm seeing there, you know. For me, it's not something you just put on a video and do it to. To me, It's having that inter energy, the exchange of energy and the group, you know, energy as well. And my favorite part of yoga class is Savasana. But you know, it's like, you know, that's for me what I love is that chance to, after doing that, to actually let go of everything and not think and just lay there and be in that energy of what was created in yoga, you know? And I'll see people in class sometimes. And they leave, you know, they go, yoga's class over, they're not going to stay for Savasana, right? Because they just are going to stay for the class because they want just the exercise or the postures, right?
And that's the most difficult posture.
Savasana.
Yeah, because it's the last one and it's the sum of all parts.
Thank you for that, because a lot of people do not ever say that.
You know, and that's how you complete it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the equation is incomplete. Without Shavasana.
Oh, I like the way you pronounce Shavasana. I say Savasana, Shavasana.
You know, and that's totally a practice is incomplete without that.
Well, thank you for that, because I really totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, we're so busy, and in a way it says that if you're really busy and you give that up, that you're not putting that busyness aside enough, right? To be in that.
You're still busy.
You're
still busy, you know, you're still busy. And, you know, I have I do remember my first teacher, Alison Dennis, always emphasizing the importance of Shavasana in the practice and just really coming full circle. And I'm fortunate enough to have her actually come in February to lead a teacher training.
Oh, where's that going to be?
It's going to be at Evolution Yoga Maui from February 22nd to March 16th. We're going to have...
About a little over 3 weeks?
A little over 3 weeks. So it's going to be an intensive teacher training that is an intensive and...
And she was your teacher?
She was my first teacher.
Uh-huh.
My first teacher.
So how often do people come for that?
It's the first of a kind.
But yeah. I mean, is it daily or is it...
It's going to be daily. It's going to be from 8 to 11, then 1 to 8 p.m.
Wow, so that's a commitment.
That's a commitment, and it's much more than the asana practice. We're talking about philosophy, we're talking about the ethics. And
so this is for someone who's really seriously wanting to get into it as a whole life.
As a lifestyle practice. Yeah, and also, like, you know, it's going to be selective in a way where we want to choose carefully because it's a lineage.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, I've done Zen and I've done a lot of practicing in many philosophies and ways of thinking. And in Zen, there is a lineage. There is a, when you take your Zen precepts, they give you all your teachers and your teachers' connections and all mm-hmm. the teachers that go back to the very first Zen teachers, you know. And not a lot of places do that. But there is something to carrying on that tradition of a really good teacher. And being in Zen, they call it a Dharma heir. You know, you're a Dharma heir. You know, you're heir of the Dharma. So that's a heavy thing, right? That's your tradition that you carry on, and you have a responsibility to carry that on. And not a lot of people or things do that. So, I mean, that's interesting that you bring that up in this form of yoga, that that you're going to have that teacher.
Yes, we really want to strive to share the teachings, but it's very important to really have good representatives of the lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no human connection or understanding, you know, that's like a tricky part, because it's not about the monetary aspect of it.
Mm.
It's much more than that. This is a responsibility, and it's a reputation of carrying a lineage with you.
Now, I think you're absolutely correct in that as well. So when you do something like this, is this something that you do as well? I mean, how do you fit in? Because, I mean, for you, I'm sure it's really exciting. For you, it's like you're getting a chance to get back and do it again, right? You
can. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So when you do something like this, how do you get involved in? And I mean, there's a term in Zen called beginner's mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And beginner's mind is really great because in Zen it's like, okay, sometimes we think we've got it all, right? And mm-hmm. and when you start to think you got it all, you kind of go through the motions, but you don't really get that enthusiasm you get when you're beginning again. And we can lose that over time.
You can lose that over time, and it's really good to bring that sense of humbleness to it as a trainer, and seeing that in people's eyes. And understanding, you know, seeing that beginner's mind in people's eyes as a trainer is really nice, and it just brings you that sense of gratitude.
Have you done these teacher clinics before?
I have done several teacher trainings, but not as a trainer.
Uh-huh.
As a student.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first one where I'll be a trainer. Alison will be the lead trainer, and I'm going to be her right-hand person. And we have another person, Ginger Clark, who's going to lead the anatomy and physiology part of the training.
Oh, I think I got a call coming in. Let me see here. Aloha, you're live on the air. This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Terry Gorman calling from Maui Grown Therapies. How are you today?
I'm great, Terry. Well, we're just finishing up with Retta here, and we'll just say... Retta, thank you so much. The best way for people to follow you is by going to, I guess, Facebook site or your website?
So on our website, evolutionyogamaui.com, on Facebook, on Evolution Maui Yoga page, and on Instagram, evolutionyogamaui01. And you can have all the info about classes, pricing, teacher training, and everything.
It's so exciting. Well, yes. Thank you, neighbor.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's
thank you, neighbor.
Seeing you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to see you.
It's always great to see you too. Aloha.
Aloha.